Will you open the Word of God with me in Hebrews? Chapter 12. Verse 2. I'm going to read from verse 1. Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despised the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of God, of the throne of God. Father, we come to you to glorify your name. We come boldly, not because of our own deeds, but because we trust in Jesus, that he paid our debt. We ask you, Father, that it will be you that will be glorified tonight in everything that we say and we do, Father. And it's for your glory, Father, in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. The passage that I want to expand on this tonight is verse 2. It says, fix our eyes on Jesus. When I was reading this passage, I didn't understand why Paul was telling Christians to fix their eyes on their own Savior. And why do the people have to listen to someone tell them to fix their eyes on someone they love? But we must understand that this letter, which I believe was written by Paul, amen, was written to Hebrew people that regarded the prophets and Abraham and all the people in the past some kind of great heroes of their faith. And many people today do the same. They look at Hebrews 11 and they say that this is the hall of fame of heroes of the faith, which in a sense it is true, but in a sense it is not. We look at verse 4, of chapter 11. And he's talking about Abel and how he offered excellent, most excellent sacrifice in his own brother. And it's by faith. We look at verse 7. It's by faith that Noah did this work and persevered to the end. By faith, Abraham left his own town and went somewhere he didn't know where he was going to go. It's by faith that Abraham offered his own son. By faith, that Joseph, even though he wasn't, you know, in the promised land, he, by faith, he asked for his bones to be carried there. By faith, Moses went in front of Pharaoh and asked to deliver his people, to let his people go, by faith. And we might, in the same sense, be in the same position to look at these people and say, well, these are great people. I mean, these are great examples of faith. But in reality, we have to look the whole chapter, and in verse 34, it tells us these people were weak. They were weak and they were made strong. My God is strong in weakness. And we're not here to praise man. The Bible says that they were weak, and I am weak, and you are weak. And we cannot look at these people and say, well, these are great people to give us a good example of. Paul says, you know what? In verse 2, fix your eyes on Jesus. We might be tempted in our Christian walk to look at brothers and say, well, that was a good message and a good brother, and we might lift up the man. But listen to me, when all is said and done, they're just men, servants of the Most High God. We must look at Jesus. And I'm afraid tonight here, even in this camp, even among us, there is people that when they look at Jesus, they don't see nothing in him. Nothing of worth. We must fix our eyes on Jesus. There's a lot of temptations. And I'm not talking about sin. I'm not talking about the type of desires, of sexual desires. I'm talking about the desires of lifting up the man. We must look at him. I take you to Isaiah chapter 53, verse 2. For he grew up before like him as a tender shoot, and like a root out of a parched ground. He has no stately form of majesty that we should look upon him, nor appearance that we should be attracted to him. He was despised and forsaken of man. Who is this Jesus? Through all the Old Testament, the promise of a Messiah comes. Through the prophets in Genesis, the Jews look at him and they laugh. They saw nothing of majesty in him, no worth whatsoever. Why we must look at him? You know why? The only reason is that we find worth in Jesus Christ. Tonight, do you find worth in him? Do you find worth in him? Is he worth it to you? Is he worth it? How much is he worth it to you? How much? Do you consider him, like Isaiah says, just like a root out of a ground with no majesty? You've been preached that, exhorted by preachers to come to him, and you yet not see him as worth anything to you. I'm going to tell you, friend, that he's worth everything to me. He's worth everything to me. There was a rich man in Matthew 19, 21st, the 21st chapter verse of Matthew. Then when he looked at him, there was no worth in him for this man. Matthew 19, verse 21. This man been talking to Jesus and saying, I have kept the commandments, I have done this, that, the other. But the Lord gets to the point and he says, sell everything you have. Forsake everything. Leave it aside. Follow me. Am I worth anything? Follow me. Am I worth anything to you? Look at me. You see me as a man. But am I worth anything to you? Am I worth more than the riches of this world? The man left sad because he had many possessions. He was rich. To many, he's not worth the risk, financial risk of being a Christian. I know that when I come to him, he will ask me to leave things behind. And I'm just not ready for that. I can contribute my money, my time, but I cannot give myself to him. He's not worth it to me. It's not. This man was really saying, Jesus, you are really not worth it to me. I'm looking at you and you're not worth the risk that I'm taking here. You're not worth my riches. Many of us tonight will not last the next camp meeting, maybe the next service, I don't know. But is he worth it to you? Are you willing to live these things of the world that the world can offer you? Do you look at him and you see worth in him? There was another man in the Bible that when he looked at him, there was no worth in his eyes for the master of life. He was facing death. He still found no worth on Jesus. Look with me in Luke chapter 23. Verse 39. There were two criminals at the cross. Both of them were going to die just hours before their death. This criminal looked at Jesus, and the only thing he saw is the last opportunity to laugh, to make a joke out of him. If you are really the Messiah, how come you're on the cross? You see, he was facing death, hours. He was going to meet his maker. That didn't faze him. He wanted to laugh. He made the last joke. He went to hell laughing. I'm afraid he's not anymore. He found no worth in Jesus. He says right here in verse 39, one of the criminals who were hanged there was, I don't know if I'm going to say it right, this word, I'm going to try, hurling abuse at him, saying, are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us. But the other answered and rebuked him, said, do you not even fear God, since you are under the same sentence or condemnation? And we indeed are suffering justly for what we receive, for what we are receiving, what we deserve for our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong. You see, the other criminal find a lot of worth in him. He told him later on, he says, remember me when your kingdom comes. He found two things. He found he really was the king. He had a kingdom. And second, the debt was not it for him. He want really worth in him. Tonight, you might hear the preaching, but there's no worth for him in your eyes. You might find him like a joke. But to me, he's worth everything. People say, give Jesus a chance. I'm going to tell you one thing. I don't give Jesus a chance. Jesus is all I have. He's all I have to me. He found no worth in Jesus. And many of you will find no worth in him tonight. And I pity you. I really do. May the Lord grant you grace. There was another man, a few men that found no worth on Jesus when they saw him. There were two religious to find any worth on Jesus when they fix their eyes on him. It's found in Acts chapter 4, verse 18. See, Peter and John had healed a lame person. And there were a lot of commotion because they were preaching in the name of Jesus. And this religious leader got him inside their courts. And at the end, verse 18, this is their order for them. It says, and when they had summoned them, they commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. We're too religious to find any worth on Christ, on his words, on his teachings, on who he was. Maybe you have parents that have taught you the things of God, but you still find no worth in them. They're not precious to you. The story of Jesus is just like another story. These people, religious people, find no worth in the Lord when they saw them. Their stories, their miracles, they were not worth it at all. Well, friend, you don't have to be rich. No, you have to be on the cross at the point of death. Or you don't have to be a religious rabbi to find no worth in Jesus. The only thing you have to be is a son of Adam to find no worth in Jesus. But blessed is the day when my eyes were open and he let me see his glory. And I can say he's worth it. He's worth it to me. And there's nothing in this world I cannot give for him. It was a lady, not a lady, she's not married. It's a young girl in our church. This past Sunday, she talked to me and she said, she confessed she's a Christian. And she told me, I have a boyfriend that is not. And I said, you know what? Well, the Bible tells you that that's wrong for you to do. There is no right. I know, but it's very hard. I said, what is the hard thing about it? Either you love him or you don't. Either he's worth it to you or he's not. Do you love him tonight? Do you find worth in him? If you don't find worth in him, then why don't you look at him only? Paul, in Philippians chapter 3, verse 7, says these things about his past and what he one day in the past found worth it to him. 3:7. I'm going to be reading from verse 4 of chapter 3. Although myself might have confidence even in the flesh, if anyone else has a mind to put confidence in the flesh, I far more. Circumcised yet the eighth day of the nation of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to the righteousness which is in the law, found blameless. This is a man that was blameless before the law, as he says. Verse 7. But whatever things were gained to me, all these things that this world can offer, all these things that the religion can offer, all these things the riches can offer, those things I have accounted as loss for the sake of Christ. Why? Because he is worth it to me. Because when I look at him, he's worth much than anything this world can give me. He is worth it to me. When I fix my eyes on him, he is worth it to me. More than I count all things to be lost in view of the surprising value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and counted them but rubbish, so that I may gain Christ. My son was crying this morning, this afternoon, because he found no worth of being inside here. He thought that we was going to have discussion and questions and discussion, and we're going to go outside and play. Well, he started crying because somebody started preaching. Well, I don't expect him to like it. Really, his eyes haven't yet been open for these things. He finds no worth of hearing about Christ or looking at him or loving the fellowship of the saints. Paul found a lot of worth. He says, I have counted all things as rubbish, trash, dung. I have a cat inside the house. I don't recommend that for anybody. But I'm going to tell you one thing. When he goes to the restroom, we have to take that stuff out. But nobody in our family cries about that stuff because it's trash. It is trash. And listen to me, friend, tonight. Anything the world can give you, anything, it is trash compared to the glory of God. It cannot compare. Whatever it is, drugs, alcohol, sex, anything, it's not compared to the glory of my Jesus. So when Paul says, fix your eyes on Jesus, I say, Paul, who else can I look at? Who else? Myself? I know what I can do without him. I know what I can be. I used to do him. But I cannot live without him. He's too much worth it for me. So tonight, as the brother preaches, search your heart. Is he worth it to you? Can you really fix your eyes on him? And when you look at him, do you find worth in him?